Book of Jeremiah, and it is on page 766 in the Pew Bibles. It's from chapter 31, from verse 7 through to 14. This is what the Lord says: Sing with joy for Jacob, shout for the foremost of the nations. Make your praises heard and say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I will bring them I will bring them back from the land of the north and gather them from the ends of the earth. Among them will be the blind and the lame, expectant mothers and women in labor. A great throng will return. They will come with weeping. They will pray as they bring them back. I will lead them beside streams of water on a level path where they will not stumble. Because I am Israel's father, and Ephraim is my firstborn son. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations. Proclaim it in distant coastlands. He who scattered Israel will gather them and will watch over his flock like a shepherd. For the Lord will the Lord will ransom Jacob and redeem them from the hand of those stronger than they. They will come and shout for joy on the heights of Zion. They will rejoice in the bounty of the Lord, the grain, the new wine, and the oil, the young of the flocks and herds. They will be like a well-watered garden, and they will sorrow no more. Then maidens will dance and be glad, young men and old as well. I will turn their mourning into gladness. I will give them comfort and joy instead of sorrow. I will satisfy the priests with abundance, and my people will be filled with my bounty, so declares the Lord.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from Matthew, and it's the familiar story of the visit of the Magi. Matthew chapter 2, the first three verses. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him.
We've travelled all this way to Jerusalem, and the child who has been born King of the Jews isn't even here.
My feet are aching and I'm so tired. Where did we go wrong? It seems logical that the King of the Jews would have been born in Herod's palace. Where else would a king be born?
I don't know. I'm so tired and I'm not sure where we should go from here. Let's just sit down and have a think for a minute.
Hey, do you see that?
What?
That star formation over there.
Hey, yeah, that's it. There it is. I think we've been travelling on the wrong direction. We need to take a different path. We need to follow the new star, not our assumptions.
You're right. Come on, let's go.
During the past year, we've spent some time reflecting on our strategic goals, and although there's still work to be done on it, we're also entering a new year with excitement about what we're going to be doing. This year, we're going to be extending our table further, and for some, that will mean leaving behind old assumptions as we follow a new star. I was reading a favourite author this past week about 10 changes we've seen in the past decade and what that means for the church as we enter the 2020s. I want to share them with you as it's important to understand our context as we move forward. So I'm going to have them up on the screen so you can see them as well as hear them. The first one is, we seem to be a lot angrier and more polarised. It's a sad place to start, but we have become more tribal, and it seems anger is what gets people noticed now. So as a church, we need to be even stronger at emphasising love. Dignity, integrity, trust, humility all become more significant in this climate. Secondly, content is everywhere, but meaning isn't. The internet in the past decade has overloaded us with information, but all that information doesn't give us meaning. The church can help with that. The church needs to be a place that helps people know where to look for content that matters most. Thirdly, long-form content has emerged as a significant force. A decade ago, we were told of our decreasing attention span. But now we discover that's not actually true. Longer, more complex podcasts are becoming popular. We don't need to settle for short and simplistic as a church. Fourthly, video didn't kill audio. Instead, audio exploded. A decade ago, we were still renting DVDs. Now Netflix is everywhere. But this hasn't meant the loss of audio. Podcasts and audio books are growing hugely because, it seems, they can be done alongside other activities. We can work out, we can cook dinner, we can commute as we listen to a podcast. Fifth, you no longer go to work, work goes to you. The office has changed dramatically thanks to high-speed internet, widespread Wi-Fi access, cloud-based computing, and the capabilities of our cell phones. Location is no longer an issue, and work can follow you everywhere. We now live in a growing grey zone with this growing need for stricter personal and work boundaries. Sixth, anxious is the new normal. And the younger you are, the more true this seems to be. Technology and constant communication overloads our senses. Any sense of shock, outrage, or concern, which used to be triggered rarely, now seems to be a constant. We become unable to process that amount of triggers as our brains are hijacked by intentional triggers to get us to consume more. Compassion fatigue and anxiety results. The church's role of a calming, non-anxious presence becomes more vital. Non-anxious people help others cultivate non-anxious people. Seven, people stay home a lot more. We used to have to go out for everything, but now we can work from home, we can shop online, we can buy Uber Eats, so many people don't go out as much anymore. Attendance at events have dropped, whether sports or conferences or church. The trend is clear, even if we don't yet know its impact. We need to understand that people will not be lining up to attend our events. Eight. Tech has become your best friend and your worst enemy. A decade ago, there was more of a fascination with technology, but now it is everywhere and it's become more of a threat. Constant distraction is the enemy of intimacy, and it's exhausting. We need to offer space for uninterrupted thinking. Nine, millennials are no longer kids. They're now taking senior leadership roles, and over time, their characteristics are changing. We can't make the assumptions about millennials that we used to make. The focus is changing to the Gen Zers. 10 and last. The unique experience we keep seeking feels less and less unique. A significant trend of the past decade is the move from accumulating things to accumulating experiences. Young people seek travel, adventures, and trendy dining rather than bigger houses and nicer cars. The desire to fill our souls with something has become a striving for unique experiences, personal challenges and adventures that make us stand out. So we have traffic jams on Mount Everest summit. And while Instagram makes sharing this easy, it also reminds us how many out there are just like us. People still search for something to make them feel significant. There continues this opportunity for deep, robust theology that speaks deeply to our souls. They're an interesting set of 10 things. Some of these may be really obvious to you, and perhaps others less so. But as we look ahead, we need to remember that change is our reality, and we cannot simply follow past assumptions. Awareness of new stars is vital. The wise men have much to teach us. Let me read you the words of Pope Francis about the wise men. As we recall Jesus' manifestation to humanity in the face of a child, may we sense the Magi at our side as wise companions on the way. Their example helps us to lift our gaze towards the star and to follow the great desires of our heart. They teach us not to be content with a life of mediocrity, of playing it safe, but to let ourselves be attracted always by what is good, true, and beautiful, by God, who is all of this and so much more. And they teach us not to be deceived by appearances, by what the world considers great, wise, and powerful. We must not stop at that. It's necessary to guard the faith. Today, this is of vital importance, to keep the faith. We must press on further beyond the darkness, beyond the voices that raise alarm, beyond worldliness, beyond so many forms of modernity that exist today. We must press on towards Bethlehem, where in the simplicity of a dwelling on the outskirts, beside a mother and father full of love and faith, there shines forth the Son from on high, the King of the universe. By the example of the Magi, with our little lights, may we seek the light and keep the faith. Let's join to sing Star Child, Earth Child.